You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
So a new series, and it's called Open Skies. Open Skies. And really the premise of this series is life often feels chaotic, it feels tough, it feels constricted, confining, it feels stressful. And what happens with the pressures of life, we often forget to have perspective that was spoke about earlier and realize that God's not confined to the box of where we are, but God is a spacious God who owns the whole host of heaven. And really this series is helping us create in our psyche and in our minds and in our lives a bit of margin, a bit of space, a bit of perspective to understand that life doesn't have to be intense all the time. People, it's summer, there's holidays, there's barbecues, and for 1 week of the year, there's this thing called the sun in the sky that visits the UK. Don't know what happened to it this morning, but it's warm and we'll take it, won't we? We'll take it. So really, this series is about creating space. And the message I want to kick us off with this morning is called Look Up. Everybody say, Look Up. Look Up. Think with me to a moment, perhaps. Maybe not you guys because you're perfect, but definitely Manchester campus, Beth and Rachel, who are visiting in the room this morning from Manchester Central. Maybe Manchester campus. Have you ever thought too small? Ever been accused of having small thinking? Or maybe caught yourself on and thought, hey, my thinking was pretty small in that area. For me, I didn't do as well as I was projected in my 11 plus. Anybody remember the 11 plus? The exam that you do before you went to high school. I was expected to get a great grade, but in reality, I got an okay grade. It was a pass, but it meant that I couldn't go to the grammar school down the road in the next town that I really wanted to go to. Instead, I had to go to Cumber High School, which was the local high school, where every Halloween they set off, not the teachers, the kids, set off fireworks in the toilets at Halloween, blew the toilets up, they'd throw chairs through the windows, there'd be fights every lunchtime. I thought I was going to the grammar school, you know, where it was quintessentially Irish. Is that a thing? Who knows? It is today. All sunshine and rainbows, but in reality, I went to Cumber High that was named locally, not Cumber High School, but it was Dumber High School is what the locals called it. So I really felt set up for success, didn't I? And the first 4 years of high school, I didn't apply myself at all. I was in a small, constrictive mindset in my thinking. I thought, I didn't make it to the grammar school with my friends, so I'm in the local high school, and hey, look, the people of Cumber always said, the town where I'm from, you know, nothing good comes out of Cumber. You're born in Cumber, live in Cumber, get a job in Cumber, and die in Cumber. Wow, what a life I was setting myself up for. But I remember in my GCSE year, my teachers recognized something in me. Great teach. Praise God for great teachers that recognize potential in people. They recognized some potential in me, and they literally said to me, Lee, you're not living up to your full potential. And it kind of hit me between the eyes, and I thought, wow, somebody is trying to pull me out and bring me out of the small thinking and small place that I was in. Mr. Hunter said to me, look, I don't have time to teach you this because I've got to teach the whole class, the foundation tier of history, but I think you could do well if you do the higher tier of history. Literally, he was like, here's the notebook, go and study, I'll put you in for higher tier, and we'll see how you get on, Mr. Hunter. Mr. Rogan, the business and communication systems teacher, pulled out greatness within the classroom. Mrs. Winters, the English teacher, was always trying to get us to think creatively and move beyond what we thought was our ability. And so what happened was, because of some great teachers in my life, they pulled me out of the small thinking, and I sat my GCSEs, and I got enough good grades in my GCSEs to go to one of the best grammar schools for sixth form in our country. Praise God, because teachers saw in me potential whilst I was in a small place. Now it gets better, and I tell you this to the glory of God and to just celebrate teachers, because teachers get a bad rap, but we've got some epic teachers in our house, and I want to celebrate them for a moment. Another teacher, Mr. Davison, I didn't believe in God at the time, but he said, you could do great in this exam. He spent time, he gave me his time, his thoughts, his diligence, pulled something out of me. So I sat two exams at GCSE level, not a Christian, by the way, and got full marks in both GCSE exams and was top of the country in GCSE religious studies. Not a Christian, by the way, which God then used because my mum forced me to do A-level religious studies because I'd done so well, and I got saved in that classroom because some Christians in school told me how Jesus could change my life. All starts with a teacher who refused to let me think small, live small, be small, but pulled out the potential in me and let me have a rant about society for a moment. Society on paper tells you to do well, but when one poppy starts to stand taller than the other poppies, tall poppy syndrome develops and people start to try and cut the poppy down because how dare you dream bigger? How dare you have dreams and aspirations for your life? How dare you try and escape Cumbria? It's what we all know. Who do you think you are? Society, in reality, wants to quash our dreams, wants us to live in fear, comfortability, wants us to accept the status quo for the way things are. But what I love about my Bible is it's full of story after story of man, woman, boy, girl who refused to think small, be small, but trusted in God's promises for their lives, leant into their potential, and saw God do something amazing in them and through them for the glory of God. And so our danger today, church, is this. If we start to think small, we'll live small, and we'll never live in the open skies of potential and possibility that God has for us. But in order for all of us to break free from small thinking, we've all got to look up. Somebody say, look up. Somebody say it like they mean it. Say, look up. Look up. We have Abraham in the book of Genesis who finds himself in a confined position, in a place of small thinking. And the Bible says this in Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6. It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram. We're going to call him Abraham today because that's what he gets renamed later on, from Abram to Abraham. The word of the Lord speaks to him in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is this bandit of a servant over here. It's not what it says. It's my version. Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. The word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up. Somebody say, look up. Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Wow. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abraham is thinking small. He's living small. He's reminding God of the problem. He's saying, God, I've got this problem. My servant's going to inherit the estate because you've given me no children. He's telling the Lord of the impossibility. He's not thinking and has no space or capacity to think about the God of miracles. He's talking to God right now, telling God, hey, God, I've got a problem that's bigger than you. I've got no kids. My lack looks like this. My problem looks like this. My story is this. Abraham finds himself in a moment of impossibility, looking down at the lot of his life instead of looking up at the Lord. And I think for many of us, we can resonate. So often in life, it's easy to look down on our lot of life and not look up to the Lord of heaven, the Lord who can do all things, the Lord of impossibility, the Lord who can come right at the right moment and set us free. So often we're looking down at our lot and not looking up to the Lord. Small thinking, no room for faith, but God takes him outside. He instructs him to look up. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We've got to look up. Isaiah 40, 26, lift your eyes on high and see who created these. Church, we've got to enter a season where we look up by faith. John 4, Jesus speaking, do not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are ripe unto harvest. Look up. Church, we can't carry the old mindset, the old way of being, the old wineskin, the old us into the new territory. God doesn't want to just physically move us to a new space. He wants to physically take us there, but spiritually grow us. And let me tell you this, in my small lifespan experience of doing ministry some 12 years to some degree of being on paid staff, there are people who will not come with us to the new building. Oh, Pastor Lee, how could you say such a thing on a Sunday morning to church? Maybe it's that guy blowing his nose if you missed it. Great timing. How could you say that, Pastor Lee? Some people won't come with. Because the reality for us is this, is that some of us just enjoy the comfortability of what we know, and that's okay. We love comfort. That's a different message for a different day. But to go and occupy the land, we've got to be think bigger, live larger. It's a spacious place. It's beyond us. It's going to need more thinking, strategy, time, effort, giving, investment. It's going to need all of us to play our part. But I'm believing that even though the stats would say some people will get left behind, I'm believing that here in Chester, we're going to defy the odds and we're going to together move and occupy the land in Jesus' name. But to do that, it's okay to have bad days. It's okay to have bad weeks. It's okay to have bad months. But there comes a point where we've got to kick open the jar of small thinking and start to realize we are audacious church. We're not small, cozy, quiet, average church. We are audacious church. So everything we do will be audacious by nature. Not because we're building our empire, but we're building the kingdom of God. And every single thing Jesus done, Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith did, Moses, the Joshua, the Joseph, the Esther, all of the people we read about moved by faith, and we call that being audacious and having audacious faith. So together, I'm giving you the heads up that we're breaking through and we're breaking free because we're not going back. We're not going back. We're not going back to playing church. We're not going back to average, but we're moving forward. Looking up, open skies, taking ground in Jesus' name. The first thing, really quickly, God did with Abraham was he took him outside. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 says, he took him outside. This is what I'm saying. God comes down to his level, to the level of his despair, to the level of his pity, to the level of his lack, to the level of the reality of the problem. Abraham's got a big problem. But he's got a bigger God. And God comes down to his level, meets him where he's at. But God refuses to let him lie there, sit there, be there. In fact, the word of God is spoken to Abraham is that of possibility, is that of you will have a child. You will have children as numerous as the stars. And I think so often where we get hung up is when God comes down to meet us where we're at. We love the experience of knowing God, being close to God, his voice, his presence, visions, all of that good stuff. But where we get stuck is we refuse to move. And so we're happy entertaining God at the campfire of our lives, having communion with him, which is important, is beautiful. We need to do that. But God's all about taking us forward. He's all about moving us on. He's all about refusing to let us stay where we are, and all about people, 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 people. Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all nations. Why? Because the world needs Jesus. And so God takes him outside. He helps him understand, yes, Abraham, you've got a big problem, but I'm a bigger God. And so what happens when you step outside physically is perspective starts to shift. Because right now, all we can see are these four walls. But when you step outside the door, you suddenly see an expansive open sky, the clouds, the stars, beyond count, beyond measure. And that is the size of our God. And so often, we tell God of our small problems that he can't fix, when in reality, he wants to get us outside, help us see him for who he is, and tell us that our problems aren't final. Tell us that our problems aren't it. Tell us that he's going to come and do something powerful in us. So he tells Abraham to step outside to help Abraham see. Because Abraham right now is in the tent of overthinking. He is literally right now in this section of text. He is in a tent, a small place, a confined place. Maybe he hears the laughter of the kids of other families, and instead of being excited and jubilant, it reminds him of what he doesn't have. He's in the tent and he's thinking about the promises that God has spoken to him, but yet he's got no child. And yet him and Sarah are old, and it looks in the natural like it's impossible. He's in the tent of overthinking, but God gets him outside. And he starts to see the heavens, count the stars, and realize that God's all about getting him out of his small thinking and helping him see God. And I don't know what it is today for you, but I think physically, you've got to get out of the small tent of overthinking, and we've got to start to see God for who he is again. Start to see God that he's promise keeper, he's way maker, he's Alpha and Omega, he's the beginning and the end. There's nothing that he can't do. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, seated in heavenly places. My God, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. God is infinite, he's immeasurable, he's awesome. That is the God that we serve. And so today, if you're going to live in open skies and look up, you've got to step outside the problem and see with a new perspective. How do you do that? We tell you every week, the first two songs we do, most of the time, are praise songs. Why? We say it often, praise is the precursor to breakthrough. It's true. We say it often, but we're trying to help you see beyond your problems, because praise gives perspective to my problems. Praise takes the pressure off my shoulders and puts it onto God. Praise tells my body it's not about what I can do, but it's about what he can do. Praise tells me my life isn't the sum of my choices, my bank account, my career, my ability, my education, my family network. Praise tells me it's about God. And so we elevate and we lift him up to his rightful place. And you can't help but live differently. Saw a guy this morning walked into church and he was jubilant, head back, shoulders up. He understands that, yes, we go through stuff in life, but my God is bigger. Oh, but he can do it. What is impossible with man is possible with God. This is the currency that we exchange. And so all of us, we need more faith for what we're embarking on. But the good thing is we just need a mustard seed of faith. And when we bring all of our mustard seed tokens of faith together, God multiplies it and we see him do something that is generational. And I can't quite describe to you how significant this is. If you know the history of Chester and the history of the area and the history of church, the last time something like this happened and a building was built for the glory of God as the church was expanding was the cathedral. Literally hundreds and hundreds of years ago, a generation in faith built the cathedral, and together we build our modern day cathedral for the glory of God, because he's not finished in yesteryear. He's not finished in Azusa Street. He's not finished in Pentecost. In 2025, my God is going to do something the Bible says we wouldn't even believe if we were told by faith. But we've got to believe the impossible. Point two, believe the impossible. Got to step outside to look up. And we've got to look up and believe the impossible. In fact, Abraham, in all of these moments that we're giving him a hard time for, he shifts his perspective literally in a sentence. The breakthrough doesn't arrive and he changes posture. He doesn't get what he was praying for and suddenly he's happy, joyous, jubilant. He still has no kids. Literally, the promise is nowhere to be found. But Abraham here in the Bible in Genesis 15 verse 6 says he believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. We love hearing babies cry in the church. We do. It's not distracting. It's a sign of life. Because let me tell you, we are building this for us, of course we are, but it's this generation and the next. So Zeke Hockley one day is going to be on a different platform, leading worship, leading us into the presence of God, because mum and dad, Joel and Sarah, create the platform. And so I'm good with the crying, I'm good with the noise. We are building a really nice creche across the road, which will be awesome, by the way. And all the parents said amen. But for right now, we take heart and we love it because God is building his church. Lives are getting changed and transformed. Abraham in this moment believes. He believes. Somebody say believe. Believe. He moves out of small thinking and into the realm of faith because he believes. What is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not yet see." He comes from this place of small thinking, the tent of overthinking, the downward spiral of his life. He has an encounter with God. God meets him. Doesn't stay where he's at, but he comes outside the tent. He looks up. He sees the skies, and he starts to believe the impossible. Hebrews, many thousands of years later, the writer says this in Hebrews 11, verse 8 and verse 12 says, "By faith Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Verse 12, and so from this one man, look what can happen through one man, one woman of faith. He, as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. What is the impossible thing that you've stopped believing for? Maybe it's revival in the nations. Maybe it's healing in your mind and in your body. Maybe it's salvation in your family. Maybe it's a new job or career. Maybe it's transformation in the family. Maybe it's to start that. What is that thing right now that you've lost faith for? Abraham lost faith that he would be a father of nations, but in a moment, he believes the impossible and everything starts to shift and change. The miracle is God's job, but believing is my job. And looking up changes everything. When you look up, you realize it's not by strength, skill, or might, but it's by the Lord. When you look up, you realize the building move. Yes, strategy is important, but it's all about God, the presence of God, his breakthrough. It's all about what he can do. And I'm so thankful that a group of us some 4 years ago started to dream about a building that wasn't that building, but God used it to stir faith, to cause us to believe the impossible. So when that building went on sale in May 2023, we decided, yes, we've got faith for it. Yes, we'll start the journey. And now 2 and a bit years later, we're on the horizon because we decided not to look down, but to look up and believe the impossible. Come on, we're just getting started in this place. Hey, it's been a good 10 years in Chester, but I know the best is yet to come. It's been an incredible 7 years in this building. We've seen breakthrough, healings, marriages, salvation, story after story of what God can do. But I know he's just getting started. And maybe today you're still waiting on that breakthrough. Oh, but God. Maybe you're waiting for healing, but God. Maybe you're waiting for the job, but God. Maybe you're waiting for the promotion, but God. Maybe you're believing for the son or daughter to come back into the house, but God. And let me tell you, we're creating space for every number, every person, the anybody's, everybody's, nobody's, somebody's of our city to come and know God.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.